Hey, I'm Ramon Ray, and I'm with SmartHustle.com, located in the vacation capital of the world, New Jersey. And you're listening to Small Biz Florida from the Florida SBDC at Indian River State College.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
This is Small Biz Florida, coming to you from the Small Business Leadership Conference here at the beautiful JW Marriott in Orlando, Florida. This conference is brought to the state and the small business community by the Jim Moran Institute, housed and hosted at the FSU School of Business. That's Florida State University. One of the primary sponsors of this event is the Florida SBDC Network. I'm Tom Kindred. I serve as host of Small Biz Florida and the regional director of the Florida SBDC at Indian River State College. And as for those that have been tuning in to the last number of episodes, you know that this conference has had an incredible lineup of very powerful and informed speakers who are presenting on some very current and timely topics in the area of small business. Let me tell you, it's been an eye-opener for me, educational for me, to sit here and interview some of these speakers. It really has been a great opportunity. And, of course, our goal and mission here with Small Biz Florida is to make sure that we get information out to the small business community about all the things that are happening across the state of Florida in terms of business. So we appreciate you tuning in, and hopefully what you're hearing on the last number of episodes has been informative and valuable. We always try to get the websites and emails for all the speakers and presenters here so you can reach out yourself and have a conversation with those that have been participating in the conference. And I have one of those standout speakers and presenters with us right now. It is Greg Bushman, who is founder of Strategic Leadership Development. Greg, welcome to Small Biz Florida.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir, for taking time out. I know you guys have been kind of on the run as speakers here at the conference, so I do appreciate the time. Greg, just kind of take us through. I know you are a PhD candidate. You gave me an acronym, All But the Defense or something, APD or something?
ABD.
ABD.
Yeah. I'm in the process of getting ready to defend my dissertation.
Nice.
Then I'll have the actual ability to use the title of doctor.
That's right. Well, you want to practice your defense here on Small Biz Florida? We can get some feedback for you.
I don't know. I don't have my lawyer next to me.
Oh,
that's the wrong kind of defense.
Well, you know, I've had that defense a few times myself. So, kind of give us a little history on yourself, your pathway to founding Strategic Leadership Development, and what the company's all about.
Yeah, sure. I've spent most of my life, my first part of my business career, as an entrepreneur and a small business owner. So that kind of gives me the heart for the people that are here at the conference, because I've been there. And of course, now again, I'm an entrepreneur doing the same thing.
Right.
And in between that, I spent 20 years in corporate management, regional, national levels. And just during that time, I witnessed the good, bad, and ugly in corporate America in regard to leadership skills. And as I've gotten older, I have three millennial children and one Gen Z.
Right.
And I just wanted to, I went to get my doctorate in leadership and organization development so that I could try to do something for the business community that would help them enter into the workforce with some leadership skills, but also to try to help current leaders understand how to welcome the millennials and Gen Z in as well, which is a great need. I mean, You know?
No, again, to the point of timely topics, I mean, absolutely. You know, I think, I don't, you probably can correct me on this, but there's some description of where we are today with the workforce. This is the first time in the history where there's four generations, am I saying that correctly, in the workforce today? You know, we've got gens, we've got millennials, we've got baby boomers and something else. Or, you know, there's four generations now out there working together.
Yeah, and there are. There are four, and there's just a few traditionalists left, about 2% of the workforce. But it's also the first time that we've really had a shift in the makeup of the largest generation in the workforce, which has now become millennials.
Wow.
And so we're the generation that has always known a technologically advanced world is now the majority of the workforce. And we've never had that before.
Wow. Yeah, and that does not include me. yes. Technology. I tell folks all the time, one of my favorite stories is I got a Tandy 1000 computer my last semester of college. So all of my papers were written on a Smith Corona typewriter. I'm an excellent typist. So, again, such a timely topic, leadership development. I love how you put it that you've seen the good, the bad, the ugly of leadership. I wonder if you went back to my employees, I might have been the ugly of leadership. I don't know. But we could do a survey one day and see where I fell in that group. But talk about how important it is for that leadership development, even in small business.
Absolutely. Well, for hundreds of years during the Industrial Revolution, there was one particular thought process in regards to management, and that was there were the business owners, and then there were the people that worked for the business, and they were kind of looked at as cogs in the machine, and we managed them as if they were inanimate objects. Well, as our society has developed, and we don't live in an agricultural or I just need food or a housing, I have some form of safety, our basic needs are met. Our higher level needs now are what we need to meet and facilitate. So management's changed. So there's a new form of management that really focuses on meeting more of our psychological, spiritual, aspirational type needs, which is a lot of what you see in our culture today in regards to politics. Things that are out on the internet.
Let's not go there, Greg.
Uh-oh.
Let's not go to politics.
Oh, I wasn't going to politics.
I'm just kidding you.
No, meaning that we see a very socially conscious generation
right.
coming up because their base needs have been met. I mean, America, we are, you know, in a very affluent nation. And so we no longer, as managers, not necessarily need to meet the base needs of workers. How does it play out in the workforce, for instance? Money is not a big motivator for some of the younger
right.
generations. You know, they're motivated more by experiences and being welcomed into the workforce and being accepted on teams. And when they share their ideas are being equally respected
right.
with their elders. And that conflicts with the older leadership styles that have been traditionally taught, which is more of a top-down.
Right.
And the newer generations have really expect kind of a bottom-up leadership style or what we call transformational or servant-based leadership.
Right. You really touched on a lot of great points there. You know, talk about, you said that, go back to the data point. This is the first time we've had the majority of the workforce is made up of millennials. Is that what you said? Or
correct.
Okay. And so talk about the real dedication from millennials to that social responsibility. Am I saying that correctly? Is that the way to phrase that? That they really have more, it's more about doing good than it is doing well for themselves? Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, that was one of the things, you know, Amanda talked about yesterday. And in my book, I talk a lot about that as well. And I set the foundation as to why, that they're more socially conscious. And businesses should do well. We're in business to make a profit. But at the same time, we can do good. We don't have to squeeze every ounce of, you know, juice out of the orange.
Yes.
You know, we can leave a little back to the field to rejuvenate the land. And a lot of that really comes from an American culture that was birthed after World War II, where we committed as a nation to building our economy, and all of the marketing, even coming from our government, was to fulfill your needs, your psychological needs, your emotional needs with things, with material possessions. And what's happened that started with the boomers and then in the Gen X age is like, well, okay, I've got a house. It's a nice house. It's an average house, et cetera. Then we upped it and doubled down and said, well, it's luxury things. It must make us happy. And our children have watched our lifestyles and realized that neither material possessions that are average or luxurious will actually meet our emotional and psychological needs.
Wow.
And this is the reason why that generation and Gen Z are very socially minded. This is why they're very friendship and relationship oriented, is because they realize that our higher level needs, Maslow called them our spiritual needs, are met not by material things, but by things that are intangible.
You know, talk to us about the challenges with this millennial group. You know, I don't consider myself maybe what you called the traditional, you know, where you hear all those textbook, you know, oh, they spend too much time on their phones, you know, too much technology, you know, you hear that. I don't fall, I think, into that category, but they are a different group. You know, they do have, and social responsibility maybe is one of those issues. But what are some of the other challenges in leading and managing a millennial workforce?
Well, first off, most millennials and Gen Z have the attitude that, you know, work is wherever work gets done. It's not an office.
Right.
And that's a byproduct of growing up in a connected world.
Right.
You can take your laptop and you can, you know, go down to anywhere you want, the cafe, you know, wherever you want to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, work remotely. Good and point. So, right. Yeah, the whole pandemic.
So they don't even see, they don't even think like we think, I got to go to the office. They could be working at 3 o'clock in the morning at Starbucks.
And they do. Right. And all of my millennial, you know, friends and people that I've worked with, you know, their habit is, you know, they like to get up, they do the morning thing, work till noon. And then they want to maybe go to the gym, or they want to go spend an afternoon while it's beautiful out at the beach. And they want to take from 1 to 5, and that's their personal time. But they don't mind picking up at 8 o'clock and working till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, work for them is that work enables their lifestyle.
Right.
And so, yeah, the pandemic actually really played into, you know, their generation and how they actually like to work. And it'll be really interesting to see how we're going to wrangle them back into the office.
Right. And that wrangling has begun, I think. You know, it is kind of interesting. That's a great point because, you know, it is kind of funny how even the conversations now about coming back to work are very subtle. You know, there's nobody really demanding it right now. Everyone must return by, well, we're going to start to bring people back in. So you're right. It may be an interesting challenge.
Yeah, no, you know, it's the old story. You know, when you get a little taste of freedom.
Right. again, how does, in your, you know, world of training leaders, I mean, what are you telling leaders? How are you connecting leadership to managing millennials? Do you have the 5-point approach, or what's your strategy there?
Well, that's interesting. Where my research and where I focus when I'm training leaders is at the cognitive level. There are certain characteristics that we're born with, and there's nothing that we can do to change that. Matter of fact, there are four basic thinking preferences of how we like to approach life and problems. This is, you've heard the old adage, 25% of people are just going to like you. Well, they probably have the same cognitive style that you do.
Right.
25% of the people are just not going to like you, and that's probably because they're your shadow, your opposite, and you clash.
Right.
50% can be persuaded. Well, what we do is we focus on a leadership maturity model that maturity in leadership has nothing to do with experience or age. It actually has to do with your maturity and how you think and handle problems in interpersonal relationships. And then we also facilitate, and I'm a certified facilitator of the Foresight Model. And a lot of people, and we've really focused very well here at the conference on the design thinking, right. Which MIT has perfected. But a lot of folks don't know that the base for that is actually the Foresight Thinking Model and those four cognitive processes. And so what we do is we tie the Leadership Maturity Framework with some interpersonal skills called appreciative inquiry, which teaches how to create a safe, positive environment in your office and how to mentor and coach your employees. And then we focus on those four cognitive styles that teach leaders what to expect when they build teams. It also happens to be the number one model for multi-generational teams.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been it's kind of like the trifecta. And it's just been very, very effective at optimizing business processes. So you can adopt like design thinking and right. or agile, et cetera. But how do you lead that effectively?
Right.
Especially in a multi-generational, multi-dimensional, and very diverse workforce. You got to go to the cognitive level, which is what I do.
Greg, I think we may need a workshop with you. That was an awful lot. And there's a lot going on there, Greg.
See, you know, the water starts to flow when you hit the passion point.
Yeah, we're never going to cover this issue on our little 25-minute podcast. There really is a lot to this. I mean, you've just kind of, it's not just something we just can haphazardly go into. It sounds like, we really need to be deliberate about what we're doing to better engage our employees, especially if you're a small to medium-sized operation where you've got those multi-generations in the building.
Yes. You know, and one of my favorite examples that I like to do in my workshops is I just have some little rubber or foam balls, and I pass them out, and I say, throw them around the room to the other people in the room. And then as, you know, everyone's throwing them around, the quick question is, did you have to think which hand or arm you were going to throw with? And the answer is no. It's natural. We're either a natural righty or a natural lefty. That's a cognitive process. You didn't have to think about it. Well, the reality is, we pick up problems in interpersonal relationships in one of four ways naturally. The problem with that is those come out through our personalities, and the four scratch each other in the wrong way.
Right.
And so as you learn the importance of the other three styles that you may not be, you can actually learn to throw with your unnatural hand. So after everybody throws with their right and I throw with my right, I say, look, I'm now ambidextrous. I have, by practice, I've learned knowledge, skills, and now it becomes an ability for me to throw with my left arm. So one of the favorite comments that I had from this week on the review sheets was the takeaway of one of the attendees that says, I need to learn how to throw with my left arm. In other words, there are actually, by practice, I can actually firm up my weaknesses and be just as strong on my not natural thinking as I am in my natural thinking process.
Wow. Yeah. And a good segue. Talk to us about your relationship with JMI and the conference and a little bit about the topic that you presented here.
Oh, yeah. Well, JMI is phenomenal. And the work that they're doing around the state of Florida is just incredible. I think they're up to 40 different locations now helping small businesses. The executive program, and not just for profit, but also for nonprofit and then supporting veteran owned businesses.
Right.
My son's an airborne combat medic. He's deployed right now in Italy. And so that really, you know, hits home. And my wife's family is a Navy family. So we love to support veterans and whatnot. My topic here was on intergenerational leadership skills. And, I'd like to tell a quick story, actually, of the impact. And so I was sitting at the table with some business owners who were getting ready to retire. They were actually taking the, how do I exit my business?
Right.
And they have a nice business in Tampa. And really, really nice people, just having a great conversation. And one of the reasons why they want to retire and sell the business or pass it on is because they're struggling with how to motivate and manage the millennial employees. And so we were discussing, and you know, they went to a different session than mine. But one of the owners made this comment. He says, well, I'm the owner of the business. The millennials should learn how to do business the way I want them to do business. And I said, that's why you need to come to my session.
Yeah. He may need to change the model.
Right. Yeah, precisely. Right. You know? And as a leader, you know, I have a saying that to be a leader, not a manager. A manager manages processes, but a leader cultivates voluntary followers. In other words, if they weren't working for you for monetary exchange, would they still follow you? And if they would, you're a leader.
Right.
And if they wouldn't, we can help you.
Right. Before I forget, how does one get in touch with Greg Bushman and Strategic Leadership Development?
You know, we're on Facebook as well as on the web. My email, which is my preferred way of contact, is just gregory.bushman, and that's spelled B-U-S-C-H-M-A-N, at yahoo.com, I'm sorry, at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And then my website as well as my name, it's just gregbushman.com. Mm-hmm. Try to make it as simple as I can.
Absolutely. And you're available to give lectures, talks, workshops, seminars. That's what leadership development or strategic leadership development, the organization does?
Absolutely. Okay. Not only speaking of workshops, but, you know, working with at the individual, the corporate or government city level, and then large groups as well. So we can do a large group of up to about 120 when we do like the Foresight model or any of the components that we do in our program.
Where are you headquartered? Where's your base camp?
Palm Harbor, Florida.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Know it well. A great place. So I guess you know, as we sort of bring to close the segment here, you know, have you know, Google loves list, and I sort of ask everyone, you don't have to stick to a number, but kind of hit the high points for us. Go through the list of what does a manager, a leader, a small business owner, what are those top things they're going to really have to come to terms with as they begin to engage this new workforce?
Oh, I love it. And I break that down into thinking types. There's three different types of thinkers. A single loop thinker is one that believes everyone's just like them and they'll be motivated by the things that you are motivated by. A double loop thinker realizes there's more to this relationship than just me. I have to take the other person and how they are motivated into consideration. And a triple loop thinker is more visionary, realizing, oh my goodness, we have a diverse workforce. It is just not a two-way street. Right. It's a 5 or 10-way street.
Right.
And I have to understand how to motivate as a leader each individual person on a personal level. And that's what we strive for.
Wow, nice. Greg, great work, great presentation here at the Small Business Leadership Conference. Again, one more time, how do we get in touch with you?
Hey, hit me up on Facebook at G Bushman 1, or you can email me at gregory.bushman at gmail.com, or hit my website, and it's just Greg, G-R-E-G, Bushman, B-U-S-C-H-M-A-N.
Okay. If we had to rank the topics for small business owners and leaders today, you're probably in the top three dealing with this millennial workforce. You know, somewhere up there with digital marketing strategies and you know, strategic planning post pandemic. So, listen, important topic. For all business owners, managers, and leaders to get engaged in, understand how to work with this diverse workforce.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you know that in Tampa, the Nonprofit Leadership Center actually voted my book the 8 must read for nonprofit leadership, specifically for intergenerational leadership skills.
What title of the book?
The title of the book is actually "I Think, You Think, We All Think Differently."
Love it. And where can we get a copy of the book?
You can get a copy. It was Amazon number one new release in business management. So you can get it on Amazon. You can also get it at Barnes & Noble. Okay. Of course, there's links on my website to those as well.
Yeah. Greg, great work. Thank you for sharing the knowledge, the experience. I wish you the best of luck with the defense, but just play them this episode of the podcast. You're good. This will cover you.
I hope so.
They'll know. Listen, when they hear this episode, they'll know you know what you're talking about. They'll clear you with your PhD with no problem. Greg, thanks again. Great conversation. Extremely timely and important topic.
I appreciate it. It was great. Thanks, Tom, for having me on.
With that, stay with us. More to come from the Small Business Leadership Conference right here in Orlando, Florida. This is Small Biz Florida.
This has been Small Biz Florida. Created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.